This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wahdahu wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dahu wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. We start by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his entire household, all his companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless them all and to bless every single one of us and to grant us goodness. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, firstly, may Allah reward you for sitting for such long hours in this heat, intense heat and humidity. For every moment that you are seated here, we ask Allah to grant you a reward, to make it a means of expiation of your shortcomings, and at the same time to grant us all elevation and to grant us paradise. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I have decided to speak just for 30 minutes, inshallah. And at the same time, I'd like it to be, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a boost for myself and yourselves. Don't we all try to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Don't we all want paradise? Don't we all want to achieve the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I am convinced that every single one of us would like to achieve just that. There is no one from amongst us who would like to defy Allah. Not one. None from amongst us is saying, where's the punishment? Bring it, I want to see it. No. When it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our relationship with Him is a solid relation. And it should be a solid relation. So as much as every one of us loves the pleasure of Allah, we want paradise, we want goodness, we want to be those whom Allah is happy with, it is important for us to know that certain actions of ours can actually earn the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst we think that we are earning His pleasure. And it's important we highlight these things. Very important we highlight them, because sometimes people think that the deen is only about fulfilling 5 daily prayers. So they fulfill their salah, and the salah is in order, mashallah, but thereafter they do deeds that nullify or minimize or eradicate the reward of that particular salah. Or sometimes it renders the salah null and void because of something they've done, or because that salah was read in a way that perhaps it was not only and solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us steadfastness. Amen. So, I want to achieve the pleasure of Allah, and so do you. To start with, I need to tell myself, and every one of us needs to tell ourselves, that I am a Muslim, I am a person who is claiming to be surrendering to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Firstly, do I know that law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And secondly, I should believe that no matter what level of spirituality I feel I am upon, there is always room for improvement. There is, there will be, and there shall continue to be until the day I die or you die. So none of us should feel, even for a moment, that we have arrived at a level where we don't now need to worry about our deeds and about our link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should just sit back, relax, you know, enjoy the days in the dunya. If you take a careful look, and it does not need a rocket scientist to come to the conclusion that a lot of people who have no iman, you will find them leading lives that they are very happy with, but come the day they die, they have forgotten or they have intentionally left out the preparation for the eternal life. Where did they go? People will say, wow, this sister or this person led such a good life. You know, they were happy, they had kids, they were given beauty, they wore the most beautiful of clothes, they turned the most number of heads and so on. In the case of a lot of the sisters who perhaps, or should I say the females who don't want to wear correct clothing and so on, or the males who want to enjoy the type of life perhaps in the clubs and in the pubs and so on, they might enjoy it to a certain extent, but that is not true enjoyment. It brings with it a lot of depression. It brings with it a lot of anxiety. It brings with it a lot of failure in one aspect. But to be honest, the person might think for a moment, you know, I'm enjoying life, I'm living it up. You have some people very high maintenance. Do you know what that means? They might have a salary, or They might be a spouse of a person who has a lot of wealth. To them, the main aim in life is, I need to have so many rings on my fingers, I need to have a chain here, I need to smell in a certain way, I need to wear a skirt and I need to do this, I need to have my makeup done, I need to be wearing this and that, I must have this car and I must have a house where the kitchen is the top German kitchen, no matter, even if it costs £25,000, that's okay, and so on, subhanAllah. And that is the extent of their life. And so they live it up and they enjoy that life, but come the day of death, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. We who have remained behind should be learning a lesson to say, this person led such a life that it was more or less a little paradise for them, but they have forgotten completely to develop a link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why one who gets up for Salatul Fajr in the morning, the feeling that they have within them is unmatched. It cannot be described, it can only be felt. Especially when you get up because you want to get up, not because you have to get up. We've spoken about this quite a few times in the past. The difference between getting up for salah because you have to, mashallah, that is one level. That is a duty being fulfilled. But there is a higher level, getting up because you want to get up. And subhanAllah, if that's the case, you will find yourself on a new level with new contentment, new happiness. A sin will never ever satisfy you. It will come to visit you again at some point, if not in this dunya, then in the akhirah. May Allah grant us forgiveness. And this is why we are taught that never lose hope in the mercy of Allah. It is just a switch in your heart, my brothers and sisters. A little switch that if it is flicked on, inshallah, your connection with Allah is on by the will of Allah. And if it is switched off, then there is hope of turning it on, but for as long as it is off, subhanAllah, we may be heading in such a wrong direction that I would never have prepared for the day I meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May He not do that to myself or yourselves. So this development of the link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that we need to understand the message He sent to us. And this message came to us through the messengers. Primarily, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad ibn Abdullah. May Allah's peace be upon him. He came to us, he brought the Qur'an, he brought the sunnah, which means all his traditions, his entire lifestyle. And Allah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. You know, the powerful example to be emulated in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the one who is looking forward to the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the final day, the one who remembers Allah often, subhanAllah. Are we looking forward to the meeting with Allah? Are we looking forward to the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yes, we are. If so, let us try our best to understand why Allah sent the messenger. He sent the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to teach us what he wants us to do, how he wants us to worship him. That was taught by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today someone asked me earlier during the day that, Sheikh, don't you do this act of worship? And I told him, I said, look, my brother, I'm scared because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he did not do it, I am actually so scared to do something he didn't do. There are so many things that I have not done that he has taught. Why must I go into territory that is debatable to start with? May Allah protect us. And he says, but isn't that a harsh way of looking at it? I said, my paradise is too dear to me to risk it by engaging in things that are really not taught by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want paradise. And for me to get there, I don't want to risk it. Someone was asking me about, for example, and this is a typical example, telling me, you know, this nail polish that is now permeable, can I use it? And I said, you know, if I were you, the truth is, I would not want to risk my salah for an inch of paint on my nails. For what? For me, it's something that I can do without. I don't need to prove to the dunya that I've got something on my nails when I'm risking whether it is okay or not. The fact that it is debated, I would choose to leave it out because my paradise is very, very valuable to me and I don't want to give it up because of a small droplet of nail varnish. Allahu Akbar. So we're not going into the debate as to whether it's permeable. We tried it out ourselves. We put it. We did this. All that is besides the point. Do you really need it? If there is a debate about it, throw it out. Are you going to die without using that? Subhanallah. Whether you use it or not, you're still going to die. But you might have lost some huge acts of worship as a result in the case that it was wrong. So stick to territory that is not debated. Allahu Akbar. It's a simple rule, something straightforward. And that is how we prepare for paradise. Because paradise, you need a payment in order to get there. If you come to my country or I come to yours, I cannot use a currency that is unacceptable. So if you want paradise, you cannot just use a currency. You know, we have something known as Zimbabwe dollars. They've cancelled them for now for a little while. Because subhanAllah, it was getting a bit out of hand. We've got a note and it says there $100 trillion. And if you ask me, it's not even worth one penny. Right? But to be honest with you, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you were to come to my country and the dollars of my country are to be utilized, for example, and you came with another currency, they might look at it and say, what is this? You know, we don't use these takas here, for example. We don't use this here, for example. And they won't give you the goods, even if you've got millions of what you have. So, similar concept, when you want paradise, you will pay with a certain currency. What is that currency? Ibadah that was taught by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If it was not taught by him, subhanallah, do you know what will happen? By the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may he not do that to us. But it's a currency that is unacceptable, even if you have it in the millions. Simple logical way of looking at things. So each one of us, we want goodness, we want happiness, we want success in this dunya and the next. We need to know why Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to us. And we need to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through doing deeds that will please Him. There is no point in me standing on one leg and shaking the other leg and thinking to myself, Ya Allah, this is something I've done only for your sake. Because that is not an act of worship. By the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's taught us something much better than that. My brothers and sisters, we are about to read Salatul Isha. And inshallah, tomorrow morning we will get up for Fajr because we want to get up for Salatul Fajr. And by the will of Allah, every little payment is going towards paradise. If a person wants a house in this dunya, and they cannot afford it, they quickly look for Sharia compliant loans. And I'm sure a lot of people say, is this loan allowed? Is that loan not allowed? And sometimes even if they're told it's not allowed, they say, well, I heard the other sheikh saying, you know, if it's your, you know, you may do it because of X, Y, and Z, because they need the home, they need the house. What about your house in the Akhirah? You know what? There is a payment to be made. Every salah is a little payment. It's an installment. You're actually paying it. If Allah has given you time, and if you're alive and the time of a salah has come in, you owe the payment. If you don't, well, in the same way there is default penalization in terms of the dunya non-payment, there is also default penalization in terms of the akhirah and the house of the akhirah. But there is a quick way out. You know what it is? You can just come and say, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again. And Ya Allah, grant me forgiveness and so on. Wiped out. Allahu Akbar. Imagine you go to the bank, oh, may Allah grant us Sharia compliant loans. You say, I haven't paid for a year, but I'm very, very sorry. I'll never do it again. I regret my action and please forgive me. And the bank says, you're forgiven. Imagine if that had to happen. That wouldn't happen. It couldn't happen. We're laughing because we know it's not a reality. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves us so much. He is ghani. يا أيها الناس أنتم الفقراء إلى الله والله هو الغني الحميد. Oh people, you are the ones who are totally dependent on Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's absolutely independent. So we depend wholly and totally upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My bread is not buttered by another human. It is actually buttered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My bread is not buttered by this person because he has a long beard. It is buttered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People might show me the path. Yes, I respect them for that, subhanallah. But my acts of worship shall only be rendered to Allah in a way that will please Him. This is the prime and the crux of the whole of Islam. This is what is attracting the entire dunya towards this beautiful religion. Why is it that we who are living in Islam sometimes become lazy? We become people who are oblivious sometimes. We tend to forget intentionally. We tend to disregard sometimes the goodness and the ease with which we can earn paradise if only we are dedicated and eradicate laziness. If you'd like to earn paradise, you need to have two things, dedication and eradicate your laziness. Yes, over and above, obviously, the sincerity and the fact that we are following the path that is shown and so on. But if you don't have dedication and you are a lazy person, how would you like to earn paradise? You want to build a house, you have the money, you have everything, but you are lazy to lift up the phone and make sign the deal and get to the contractor. Subhanallah, if that's the case, how would you get it done? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. So my brothers and sisters, there is a lot of hope in my life and yours. Never ever feel for a moment that you have gone beyond a certain point where now I cannot return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what, it is the devil who makes people think that. You can, you shall, and you will turn to Allah. And He loves you. And He will grant you the feeling within your heart that you will turn to Him. And He will change your life around. And remember, in this dunya, even if you've led a life that is a life of sometimes not exactly as you want it, maybe a life of turmoil, turbulence, difficulty and so on, by the will of Allah, that is your quick entry into paradise. It's a fast track into Jannah on condition that you surrender to the decree of Allah that He has chosen for your life. Everyone has issues. Some people lose their children early age. Some people go through miscarriages. Some people don't have children. This is the tailor-made test for you. This is your paradise, Allah's examination for you. Some people cannot find a job. May Allah grant you a job. Some people have a job, but the salary is not enough. Some people, something has happened. Maybe they've suffered a loss of this nature and that nature. By the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you are a person who's ready to surrender to the decree of Allah and to consider that your opportunity of earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will automatically be able to smile even though your life according to others is in turmoil. But for you, Allah's on your side. So no matter what has happened, you just say, it is Allah. Inna lillahi ma akhadha wa lahu ma a'ta. Indeed, for Allah belongs what He has taken away and what He gave us in the first place. Today I have it, tomorrow I don't. But when I die, I know because I was always happy with what Allah chose for me in my life, that is the reason why Allah will be happy with me. And I'm going to not only lead a content life, even if it is void of materialistic items, but I'm happy. You have people who have the dunya, but they're not happy. And you have others who have nil, nothing. They don't even have a home. They sleep under the bridges, subhanallah. But you find them smiling, they're sharing their peanuts that they have with them and so on. Real peanuts. You know, we're not talking of, when you say this guy's got peanuts, some people mean he's got nothing. But we're talking of real peanuts. They share their peanuts with a smile. Brother, would you like a peanut? Subhanallah. And you've got your big Mercedes Benz, you can't even give him a lift, subhanallah, to save your life. This is what happens. May Allah grant us goodness. So there are people who lead lives of contentment without materialism. To be honest, the one who is on the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will have even greater contentment when he passes away. Are we ready, inshallah, to be happy with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We contribute positively, firstly, to ourselves. I would like to sometimes behave well to the non-Muslims around me so that, you know, I'm not labeled like the other guys are labeled. I need to be a cool dude so that everybody can look at me and say, Islam is a good religion. But to be honest, what about being good to myself? Come on. You do not want to burn. You do not want to enter Jahannam. We don't even want to talk about Jahannam. A lot of the youngsters, the minute the sheikh comes in and says, Jahannam has a fire, the color of the fire is black, and the people start saying, oy, this guy's dooming us to death. He's speaking a reality, but because sometimes we haven't done ourselves a favor, we start feeling this man's dooming us because we are guilty. But if we're not guilty, would we feel he's dooming us? We would say, Ya Allah, protect us from the fire. So this is why today, a lot of people love the talk of paradise, you know, tour of paradise, and they want to hear, mashallah, and you hear about the hoor, and the guy says, inshallah, inshallah, you know, inshallah. But they don't realize that, ya akhi, to achieve that, you need to work very, very hard. You need to work hard, and not only that, to be honest, just the mere granting of entry into paradise is enough for a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say, Ya Allah, grant us entry into Jannah without adab, without hisab, without reckoning, Ya Allah. You know, we are weak, but we have hope in the mercy of Allah. We have a Rabb, we have a Lord who is Ghafurun Rahimun. He says, the thing that makes me the angriest. Imagine, you know, when people get married, they read the Riot Act first night nowadays. You know what that means? Right, listen, wife. You better make sure you understand. This is what irritates me. Number one, number two, number three, number four. That's it. Don't go. If I'm angry, you know you should react in this way. Just calm down, cool it, don't react. If you do, there's going to be an inferno in this home. And nowadays the wife tells you, listen, hubby, this is my riot act. If I cook, You dare tell me that this food is not good? I throw it in your face sometimes. So you have riot acts that are read. Wallahi, to be honest with you, we will take care of our spouses when we know that this is going to irk them. But we are not bothered when things irk Allah. And Allah told us, I become angry when you associate any form of partnership with me, no matter what. I become angry. And Allah says, it is something, it is an insult to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many ahadith, so many different narrations, so many ayat of the Quran. But still sometimes we find ourselves, you know, not even knowing what is it that entails this association of partnership with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that brings me to the last point I want to make mention of, and that is, my brothers and sisters, you want to earn paradise, you need to ask a lot of questions and you need to get answers to those questions. You need to read a lot, you need to listen a lot, you need to engage yourself, educate yourself regarding Islam. Ask yourself questions. Don't just sit satisfied at your level. Ask yourself, why am I doing this? Why is this? Why is that? There was a time a few years back when the oldies used to say, hey, don't ask, just do as you're told. Today, everyone asks questions. And if they don't get an answer, believe me, you might lose them. So you need to ask questions. And you need to search for the answers. And there will come a time when if you know the basics, you will be satisfied with the answer you have. What are the basics? I'm a Muslim and I know that I say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If I know that and I understand what it entails and what it means, that will guide me to the right direction. And I will be able to tell what I'm doing is right or what I'm doing is totally wrong. So keep on asking, keep on learning. That's how you get to paradise. We were coming now to Ealing, subhanAllah. You know where is Ealing? It's not very, very near from where I was, somewhere up in the east. And to be honest, we had to follow a lady who was saying, turn left. And a little while later she says, keep to the right. When you can, if possible, make a U-turn. And I'm saying, but make up your mind, ladies. Yeah, we call it a tom-tom. I don't know, it should be mu'annath, it should be Mary Mary. Maybe. So the truth is, these Mary Marys, they lead us to a different place altogether sometimes. And then later you find out there's the road with the same name somewhere else. And I, as a foreigner, just needed to know what's the postcode. I could have put it in and inshallah we'd have got there. But mashallah, we got here on time by the will of Allah. The reality, the point I'm saying is we want to get to paradise, but we've sometimes punched in the wrong postcode. Subhanallah. You want to get to paradise. You need to know, how can I get to paradise? This is La ilaha illallah. This is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I must be a proud Muslim. I'm not a bad person. I've got goodness in me. You need to believe you have goodness in you. If you think I'm a horrible, terrible person, shaitan can get hold of you and send you into the clubs, and shaitan can keep you in the club. But if you believe there's goodness in you, you will walk out of the club saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Sometimes there are people who've walked out of nightclubs and become so good and so powerful in their iman that they have been the means of the guidance of so many other people by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are so many who've seen the darkness, they've come to the light and they've now shown you, you know, I saw a torch one day, this was my torch, come and see. Look at the torch, and they show you and you start seeing with a similar light. Sometimes they are in a better position to speak to people because they know what the darkness is all about. Look at the reverts from amongst us. They are sometimes more powerful in their deen than those who were born Muslimin because they have seen sometimes the darkness already and they know what it was all about. So they will never want to go back to those days when they felt so low, so crumbled, so claustrophobic and so closed. But this is Allah. It's Allah's plan. So my brothers and sisters, we need to learn. We need to learn and we need to understand the goodness in you, my brothers and sisters. Develop it. Don't feel like a bad, rotten egg. No, you're not. Wallahi, there is hope in you. We have it. And we definitely have been blessed with it. That's why we're seated in whose house today? The house of Allah. It's not mine, nor is it yours. Look, we are here in numbers by the will of Allah. We are here in different colors and races and so on. Alhamdulillah. Some might be wealthy, some might not be wealthy. Some might be going through health problems. Allah grant you shifa. And some others might not, might be going through different issues. Allah grant you ease in whatever issue you may be going through. But bottom line, we love each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have a common point. We have something. And really, we need to boost this. This is how we will get to Jannah. This is how we will get to paradise. This is how we will be able to alleviate our own internal suffering before we try to alleviate the suffering of those outside. A lot of us have reached out to Syria. Alhamdulillah. Allah accept it. But you have a little Syria inside here. There are refugees in a tent inside here known as your sins. Why don't you deal with your own refugees before you deal with those by the will of Allah? May Allah grant us ease. People are crying about oppression in this land and that land, but you are oppressing yourself, which is worse. When Allah says, إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ, one of the greatest oppressions is to associate partnership with Allah. We get angry when we hear that. Oh, this sheikh, he's always speaking about this thing here. But that's not it. The reality is, it is the most important topic in existence. The most important topic, more important than your bread and your milk. More important than anything else. So, don't get irritated because that is the issue. Reach out to your heart, reach out to yourself. Ask yourself, how can I improve this little being of mine? A lot of us are so bad in our own homes that our family members cannot wait for our death. Every day in tahajjud they get up and you think, wow, I've got a pious wife. She's saying, Ya Allah, take this man away. Just because of your mouth. Is that what Islam is all about? I must be horrible just because it's a soft spot. You know what? People have a bad habit. People have a very bad habit. Sometimes they are irritated and frustrated with someone else. Someone else has done a problem, you know, caused damage for them and so on. And you know what they do? They find a soft target. Very soft target. Who's that? My wife, my children, my this, my that. And they start irritating this soft target in a way. They try to justify themselves. I'm the boss of the home. I'm the bosses of the home. You know what's a bosses? It's a female of boss. Allahu Akbar. So what happens? We then come in and we oppress our family members because it's a soft target. Why don't you get up and call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you from the real issue that you have in your life? Don't come home and vent your frustrations. You know, and this is something very interesting because we see it happening more and more. A lot of the guys who are so polite with the females outside are actually not that polite at home. So when you see a man walking with a bit of a stern face sometimes, perhaps he is so good to his family members, you know, you just look at him and you admire him, say, this guy, mashallah, you know, he doesn't just this way, that way, he, mashallah, he's just concentrating, you know, he's happy with what Allah's provided him. And sometimes you find people, they're just looking around, hey, hi sister, how are you, man? What's happening, man? Mashallah, I like your hijab, sister. That's good, man. The same guy at home, he swears his family members. And the poor sister is saying, I wish Allah gives me a husband like this. And she doesn't know that the wife that this man's got is saying, I wish Allah takes this man away. Subhanallah, may Allah grant us. Is that what it's all about? We need to close, lock in on those whom you are responsible for. Let them bear witness that you're the best person to live with, male or female. And if that's the case, we enter territory where Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Khayrukum khayrukum li ahli." The best from amongst you, those who are best to their family members, starting with a spouse. May Allah grant us goodness. Brothers and sisters, I've spoken a lot. I've said quite a bit. Perhaps my 27 minutes are up. I said I would speak for 30 minutes. I'll stop on the dot. You know what, my brothers and sisters? We can change, can't we? We will all change and improve, including myself. Like I say, there is room for improvement for everyone, no matter how old you are, no matter who you are. Improve. Search in yourself, how can I become a better person? My ibadah needs to improve. My mu'amala needs to improve. Which means my acts of worship need to improve and my treatment of others needs to improve as well. My preparation for the day I meet with Allah needs to improve and I need to be a person who realizes that life is not all about wearing rings and having accessories and enjoying putting makeup and enjoying walking and, you know, wearing the jeans that are as tight as ever. You know what shocks me? You find these youngsters wearing these half bummers. They show the cleavage of their backside and then you know what happens? Every little while they're pulling it up. But brother, why are you pulling it up? You should have rather worn a belt, man. It really irks, it irritates. Because like we say, we used to say monkey see, monkey do. We no longer say that. We say baboon see, baboon do. Allahu Akbar. Allah grant us goodness. Really. If you really want to pull it up every little while, the best thing to do is buy your size a proper little thing and inshallah put it there, you know. And what you do, get a belt if you want, I can give it to you because if you don't wear the belt, you get the belt. And really tie it there properly and be a human being. When people look at you, they see you with respect, with dignity. But you don't respect yourself and you want others to respect you. You don't remove yourself from self-oppression and you want oppression to be removed from others. This is why we say, it's about time we thought of it holistically and we became better people. Inshallah, we'll be rejuvenated. We'll be powerful people who can really work in a way that we smile after reading salah. Ya Allah, I fulfilled the salah for you. I ask you to accept it. I'm going to try my best to protect myself from donating the salah to someone else or from rendering it null and void because of the deeds that do that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness and protection. Brothers and sisters, it was really a pleasure to have come here and sweated it out in front of you, as you can see, and speaking in this tremendous heat in this beautiful house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, I may not be knowing the faces individually, but by the will of Allah, I see the goodness. And I am here solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope and pray you can forgive me for any of my shortcomings, and at the same time make dua for myself. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept these few words and to let them be a means of turning the switch on today in a way that our link with Allah is on, no longer off. Like I said, your spirituality and link with Allah, my brothers and sisters, is just like a switch. If it turns on, you are plugged in full time, mashallah. And if it's off, you need a bit more effort, inshallah, to turn it on. Let this be a means. May Allah grant us goodness. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah bihamdi. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayki.